When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Falcons win on Sunday. We're talking about it with you. Michael Penix, first start. What did you think? Poll questions up at Dukes and Bell 929. Mike's out today. Mark Zeno is in. And Merry Christmas to you and yours if you are off this week, or maybe you're just chilling and hanging out. 34-7 was the final score. You get two pick sixes. You get Bijan running for a couple of touchdowns. I just felt comfortable as a fan watching our team operate offensively. And it's been a few weeks since I felt that way. And again, we love Kirk Cousins. We do. We think he's a dude. We think he's a great guy. And it's unfortunate, Zeno, that this has played out the way it has. But before we talk to Connor Riley, it's something we've been discussing today. And you talk about where this team is. How do you feel now? We're going to open up the phone lines here in about 10 minutes. So stay tuned. If you want to talk about it, we want to hear from you at 404-726-0929. And I do want to get your opinions on this. Maybe you're like, man, you know what? This just felt better. Or maybe you're saying, hey, you know what? I still don't know. I need to see more. 404-726-0929. Right now, though, let's talk some dogs. Connor Riley is here. Connor, before we get into the dogs and Notre Dame, which is what everybody will be talking about, I want to get your opinions on these playoff games. Everybody feels like these teams that got blown out were frauds, like they weren't deserving. How do you feel about the committee's decision to put the teams in because the first round games were duds?
One, I think in college football every year, there's really probably only six or seven teams that can realistically win a national championship. And I think some of those teams we're playing this weekend, and some of those teams that can't win a national championship, even if everything goes right, we're playing against some of those teams. Ohio State played their absolute best game of the year. And Tennessee, a team that struggled on the road all year, just was not ready for that level of competition. Clemson, a team that has SEC caliber athletes, just could not match, I think, the physicality that Texas played with. I know a lot of people are going to point to Indiana and they're going to point to SMU, but it was those other teams too that got blown out as well. And for anyone saying that, oh, Alabama should have been in this game, yeah, Alabama also should have beat Oklahoma, an incredibly mediocre football team, and they lost by three touchdowns to that team. Ole Miss should have been in. Sure, you don't lose at home to a Kentucky team where that Ole Miss win was their only SEC win. We have to continue to value the games that are played on the field. I know that the ACC isn't as good as the SEC is. I know that Indiana played a very watered-down Big Ten schedule. But those teams still found ways to win games that were on their schedule. And Alabama and South Carolina and Ole Miss all lost to teams that were not playoff caliber during the regular season. And that's the reason why they were watching Indiana get blown out this weekend.
Connor, before we get to the games themselves, I'm just kind of curious, as we start through this navigation of the 12-team playoff, you know, I already see changes that need to be made. I don't know if they're going to make any, but one, stop with the automatic first-round buys for conference champions. If you're ranked 16th like Clemson was, then you get the 12 seed, that's fine. Like, you know, we don't need to have automatic first-round buys for teams. Boise doesn't deserve a first-round bye. They just don't. That's the reality of the situation. They're not one of the four best teams in the country. And Oregon didn't get rewarded by being the number one seed. They now have the toughest game of any team in this tournament. So that and reseeding, I think, needs to happen. But do we see any changes coming?
Well, it's important to note that this playoff structure, when they agreed upon it, is only set to exist for this season and next season, and they can redo it starting with the 2026 season. And I think with what we've seen so far, I do think that we're headed that way. I think they're going to eventually get to a point where you still have winning the conference championship get you into the college football playoff, but it won't necessarily get right. You that bye. And that's more in line with what the college basketball tournament does. You know, just because you go on a Cinderella run and say win the Big East tournament, that doesn't mean you should be guaranteed a top three, top four seed in that side of the bracket if you messed around during the regular season. So I do think that we're going to see some changes moving forward in terms of the way that this gets done, which in a way is understandable. This is the first time seeing it play out this way, and we'll, you know, like next year as we get another data point in there, I think that's only going to further help. I would, though, fully caution, you know, making all those changes after just this one season. I would advise maybe waiting until after next year's playoff as well, and then implementing those changes, such as reseeding after the first round, or, you know, doing away with top four conference championships getting by.
Connor Riley, our guest, guys, he writes for Dog Nation. The big question is, how does this offense change, or does it, with Gunnar Stockton taking over at quarterback? Did Kirby discuss this? What are your thoughts? And because I think it's something Georgia fans are talking about all over the country.
Yeah, I asked Kirby this today. You know, how does Gunnar coming in impact how this run game works? And statistically, you can look at that Texas game. They had 13 non-sack rushing yards in the first half, and Carson Beck was in there at quarterback. They finished that game against Texas with 144 rushing yards. I think his mobility, his willingness to run, opened some things up for Nate Frazier and for Trevor Etienne. But Kirby Smart today, when I asked him about it, said that the offense is what the offense is, and that he feels Carson Beck is a capable athlete, and he feels that Gunnar Stockton is a capable athlete. Now, I believe that much of that is gamesmanship, and I think Marcus Freeman understands that as well. We got a chance to speak to him today. He made it clear that he understands that this sort of offense is probably going to look a little bit different in terms of the way that they go out and do things and the way that they go out and play. I'll be interested in seeing, you know, the Georgia Tech offense, for example, and because a lot of what Buster Faulkner did for the Yellow Jackets stems back to what Todd Monken has been doing and did, and obviously they all work together at the University of Georgia. How does this Georgia offense compare to that, where, you know, against Georgia, they ran Haynes King 24 times. I don't know that Georgia's going to be willing to run Gunnar Stockton that often, given just how important he is to this offense and the fact that they don't have to just beat Notre Dame. They have to potentially win multiple playoff games. But I do expect this offense, despite what Kirby Smart said today, to at least look a little bit different and not so reliant on the vertical pass game, in part because that's not a strength right now of Gunnar Stockton that we've seen in-game, and also because his other strength is his legs, his willingness to run, and the physicality in which he runs with.
How much do you count Notre Dame's ability to stop the run and what they're going to factor in for the game plan for Gunnar Stockton? Because clearly, you know, I mean, that's the one thing Notre Dame does really, really well. And if you're going to keep running to a brick wall, eventually the game's going to have to end up in Gunnar Stockton's hands, no?
Right. And the important thing to note with Notre Dame, I think the biggest strength on their team is their secondary and just their ability to be really sticky and handsy in coverage. And look, wide receiver is not a strength for this Georgia team. They lead the country in drops. And so it's going to be really interesting to sort of see, okay, yes, we know that Georgia's going to want to run the ball effectively, lean on Trevor Etienne, lean on Nate Frazier in that regard. But they can, as you point out, Mark, just rely on the running game. And I think they know that they're going to have to get stuff out of Gunnar Stockton, pushing the ball downfield and at least opening things up so that they're not running into crowded boxes time and time again. Though, I think it's important to note Notre Dame loses their best defensive lineman, Riley Mills, leads the team in sacks, tackles for loss, and it's already a Notre Dame front. That isn't huge. That isn't, you know, as big as, say, a Texas was or an Alabama or the Ole Miss front that Georgia saw this season. So I think with the way this thing is trending, this is a game where Georgia's offensive line, you look for them to be a real difference maker.
Yeah, Mills led the Irish in sacks, as you mentioned, and was asked, Marcus Freeman was asked about him, and he said, you can't replace him. You can't replace his leadership. He's a captain. That is a big loss heading into the Sugar Bowl, no doubt, for Notre Dame, but nobody's feeling sorry because we've seen Georgia go through their fair share of injuries as well. 8:45 on January 1st in the Sugar Bowl. That's the quarterfinals in New Orleans as the Dogs are trying to reach the national championship again. We're talking with Connor Riley. Connor, speaking of defense, let's talk about that aspect of this game going in against Notre Dame and what you think the Dogs maybe have an advantage, or do they have an advantage in what area?
Yeah, so getting to watch this Notre Dame team really closely on Friday night, I did not come away overly impressed with what I saw. Indiana statistically got a very good defense and made things difficult. But I just don't believe that they really have the athletes, and I use plural there, because Jeremiah Love is a fantastic player. It is a guy that is going to make things difficult for Georgia. But they've seen better offenses, I think, in terms of talent than what Notre Dame will bring to the table. But look, we've seen Georgia struggle this year with mobile quarterbacks, and Riley Leonard, the slippery guy, he's able to run around, make some plays.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
His leg, over 700 rushing yards on the season, had a rushing touchdown on Friday night. This has been an issue for this Georgia defense all season. If they're facing a guy, a little statuesque like Quinn Ewers is, and is able to get after him in the pass rush, it's a very different game. But with that quarterback run ability, we're going to see how much Georgia has learned from playing a guy like a Jalen Milroe, playing a guy like a Haynes King, and how Notre Dame's ability to move Riley Leonard around and use his legs as a factor, both in extending plays in the pass game and also using him as a design runner. That's where Notre Dame, I think, tries to create some mismatches in this game, because from a talent standpoint, I think Georgia absolutely has the edge on that side of the ball.
I agree with you. Look, I don't think that game was as lopsided as people do in Indiana Notre Dame. The game literally turned in the first quarter on two plays, the interception and the 98-yard touchdown run, and Indiana was dead in the water. And I don't think Cignetti coached a great game either. But to that end, when you talk about the coaches here, I mean, I think Kirby has a huge advantage over Marcus Freeman, particularly in the offensive side of the ball. Kind of diagnose the chess match between the two.
Yeah, look, this is easily, in my opinion, the biggest game that Marcus Freeman has ever coached in. yes, they coached against Ohio State last year, and they've already played in the playoff game, yes, but Kirby's gone head-to-head against Nick Saban in multiple national championship games.
Yeah.
He's beaten Steve Sarkisian head-to-head twice this season. He's been in big-time games and big-time environments like this. And look, there have been times where Notre Dame, in recent years has come up, but obviously they have the Northern Illinois team or game this season, but this Notre Dame team has improved over the course of the season. But I think with Kirby Smart, with just what he has seen, along with the time off and the chance to really dive in and diagnose this Notre Dame team, I think the coaching edge, the coaching experience here, along with the talent advantage, which in college football, I know so many people like to separate coaching and recruiting. Recruiting is a part of the job of being a college football coach, and Kirby Smart does a better job of that than Marcus Freeman does. So I'm going to be really interested to sort of see how all this plays out when these two teams meet on January 1st in New Orleans.
All right. Of the other games, which one are you looking forward to potentially seeing? Is it Oregon, Ohio State? I mean, what other game in this round that you feel like, all right, that's going to be a really good one?
It's Oregon, Ohio State. The talent is there.
Yep.
This is a game that is fitting of being a national championship. I think the fact that it's in the Rose Bowl is going to make it all the better. It was a great game when these two teams met earlier in the season. Ohio State probably just had the best individual performance I think of any team has had all season in that win over Tennessee on Saturday. So it's going to be really interesting. I am intrigued, though. One, this Georgia-Notre Dame game, I think, is going to be interesting. I don't know how high scoring it's going to be, but I think it's going to be a close game that is going to at least keep people engaged to the end. I'm interested in seeing what Boise State and Penn State looks like on that first game, which is going to be on New Year's Eve, because I think that these are two teams. Boise State has this history, and they played well in that big game against Oregon early this season. And while, yes, I know Penn State blew out SMU, but they had two pick sixes in that game, and the offense didn't really do much, I think, to go out there and inspire confidence. And so I'm going to be interested in seeing what this Boise State team, which is going to have more than a puncher's chance in the Fiesta Bowl, is able to do against the Penn State team. I'm still not 100% sold on.
Of the two double-digit underdogs, Boise State and Arizona State, which one's more likely to pull off the upset?
I would take Boise State in this situation.
Really?
I think that Texas team, I think the Texas defense is really solid, and that's going to make things difficult for Arizona.
Yeah, but
State.
Steve Sarkisian is the coach. Like, that guy has a knack for making games a lot closer than they should be.
James Franklin's the head coach for Penn State.
Well, that's true. I think Arizona State's a more legitimate opponent than Boise is. When you talk about Jimmies and Joes.
On the offensive side of the ball.
I mean,
yeah,
Camp Scatabo. Scatabo is going to scat all over.
Yeah, but see, this is the problem. And real quick, Connor, because I know you got to run. We got to get out of here. But this is the problem. Zeno's like, oh, they're better than Boise. Why are we automatically dismissing what Boise has done this year?
Because they played
the Mountain
West.
Look, this is a team, they, you know, 37-34 against Oregon.
We all want to hang our head on that one.
Two kickoff returns and a field goal at the end to win that game. And then they win all their other games. Like, I think there is something to be said for that.
All right, great stuff. Connor, tell the people where they can follow you, man.
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. We're going to have a ton of stuff both before Christmas and coming after Christmas. Busy time of the year. And happy holidays to you guys there at 92.9 The Game.
You too, man. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. That's Connor Riley from Dog Nation. We'll take a quick timeout. We're coming back. We got a lot more to dive into. As we've been talking about the Falcons, we're going to hear from Coach Rod, Arnold Ebiketie, Penix, Bijan, and much more. It's funny. Guy just tweeted me and said, hey, Dukes, I think Penix is going to have to shoulder a lot more in this next game. It's a tough test. I agree. But I want to know how you feel after seeing what you saw yesterday. We're going to open up the phone lines, 404-726-0929. Where are you on Michael Penix? It's Dukes and Bell. We got a quality start out of Michael Penix, and we got to win. Now, as we started the show today, Zeno's in for Mike. Zeno was like, well, I mean, like, I could have started for them, saying me. For the game. I don't feel that way. We've just thought that you could throw anybody in at quarterback, and the Giants were so bad that we were going to get a win. Give Penix credit. He took care of the football yesterday. The offense did score 20 points. Again, ifs and buts and whats. I think we could have scored another touchdown before the half if Kyle Pitts holds onto the ball. And what does that look like? You got two defensive touchdowns. But here's the deal, guys. How do you feel about Penix, and where are you now with this football team? Do you feel better than you did? 404-726-0929. Taking your phone calls. Want to grab my man, B. Rich. He does the Water Boys podcast. I give him love because they show us love. B. Rich, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? What's up? Two things, man. Michael Penix, man. He looked very, very poised out there. What we got to do as Falcons, man, we cannot let ex-Falcons continue to beat us. Dan Quinn, we got to beat him. We can't let him beat us. We let Arthur Smith beat us. We didn't let Desmond Ridder beat us. We let Deion, Jeff George, and all those guys beat us, man. We got to come in. We got to stop that trend, and we got to shut Dan Quinn down. What do you think?
It's a great question. Zeno and I were discussing, B, and here's the deal. Quinn, listen, they're coming off a very emotional win against the Eagles, right? They were down two touchdowns at two separate points in this game. They were down five late in the game. They come back. Jaden Daniels throws a late touchdown. I think, you know, we're getting them. Sunday Night Football is going to be a big-time environment. And these games are important for both teams. But to Zeno's point about Dan Quinn, he will devise some blitz packages to try to get after and rattle Michael Penix. There's no debating it. He's going to. But if we are able to find a way to get that dub, it would be great. More importantly, we got to win out and put some more pressure on the Bucs. But, no, man, I'm with you. I mean, like, you talk about, you know, former Falcons or former Falcon coaches. We started the season. He's talking about the game against, you know, Coach Art, Zeno, and you know, the Steeler game. And what at that point, we really didn't know what we had, right? I mean, think about it. How we felt about Cousins and what we got, it was like mixed emotions.
You know, that's a convenient narrative.
It's true, Art. We didn't play well. I mean, so there was a lot going on there. But B. Rich, I appreciate you, man, as always. And he's right. I feel like going into this game, there's a little extra added something to it.
Well, again, I mean, look.
let's be clear. You know, I thought Penix played really well. I thought he did everything you expected him to do. I thought that he brought a certain level of calm to the offense, and when it felt like chaos was happening week in and week out with Kirk Cousins, you got a different level of sort of stability from Penix that we haven't seen in the last five games prior to that. So, but again, beating the Giants and how do I feel about the team as a whole? There's a lot of quarterbacks you could have started in that game, including Kirk Cousins, and you still would have won it because the Giants are that bad. It's not taking anything away from Michael Penix, but you know, the idea that there is a certain amount of certainty that we know about him yet at this point is no, there isn't any.
I mean, you're doing the all due respect from Talladega Nights with all due respect. There are two
different questions. How do I feel about how Penix played, and how do I feel about the team? Are two different questions with two different answers.
No, it's the idea, though, that you keep saying that any quarterback could beat the Giants.
Yes,
and you're saying that.
Yes,
it's just you're saying you're not sliding Penix when you say
no,
that.
No, I'm not.
You absolutely are.
No, I'm not. That's your feelings, your opinion, and your sensitivity. It has nothing to do with me.
It's
the
slight.
Fact is, I said, no, it's not. I said very clearly what I thought about how Michael Penix played. He played very well. He did everything you expected him to do. He brought a certain level of calm to the offense. It didn't look disjointed. It was stable. They moved the football. That's how I feel about how Michael Penix played.
Those are all great things, by the way.
Yes. Ask me how I feel about the team.
But you're also saying that if any quarterback had played poised, calm, collected.
Nope, that's what you're saying.
You literally just said any quarterback.
Because Kirk Cousins hasn't played calm,
he
hasn't. Poised, whatever.
No, you said and Tyrod Taylor.
And
if Tyrod Taylor played poised and composed,
and
Tyrod Taylor do the same thing?
Do you believe Kirk Cousins would have lost to the Giants yesterday?
With the way he's been playing, Zeno, yes.
No.
Yes. With the way he's been playing?
You're out of your mind.
Why?
Because
you trust that he was going to not turn it over?
Barely an NFL football team at this point.
Especially saying, Zeno, just remove Michael Penix's name from the stat box yesterday and insert any other quarterback's name in there.
You can project whatever you want. That's not what I said.
I'm not projecting. You just said that.
No. Again, you asked me how I felt about the team.
You said any quarterback yesterday could have beaten the Giants.
Let me ask you this, by the way. We're going to grab Eric and Marietta, 404-726-0929. Taking your phone calls. How do you feel? Do you feel better today? What you saw yesterday, how do you feel about Michael Penix after getting finally a chance to see him? So many of you guys were like, man, I just want to see Penix.
Some of you guys are like that after week one.
Well, of course. I want to see Penix. Okay, you saw him. So what do you think? I thought he did a really good job. Let me ask you this about this week. How much pressure is on Coach Ra? Seriously. We hadn't really talked about the pressure that has been mounting.
Well.
And now you talk about winning out. You got to win out. And you're going up against,
I have.
Well, because here's the deal, Zeno. It's been more about the quarterback play than it's been about the coaching. Now, if you feel like you've stabilized that, we get back to the coaching. Coaching matters. It's going to matter in this game against the Commanders.
Okay. I mean, I've said this repeatedly, and you know this. I love Ra. He's a great guy, and I like him a lot. I don't 100% know how good of a actual football coach he is yet.
What needs to happen?
I mean, why do you think I press him so hard on his decision-making processes in those press conferences? I'm trying to figure out if he can coach games in tight moments. I'm trying to figure out, again, you guys, I cringe when I have to say this because I know everybody's feelings on Arthur Smith. But that said, you know, I thought the guy was an excellent coach, okay?
Well, he's showing it. Yeah. He's doing a really good job in Pittsburgh.
But, and by the way, by the way, I don't know if you saw my tweet on this. After that Raiders game, Arthur Smith was the happiest guy in the world because how in the hell did you win nine games with Desmond Ritter at starter? I actually thought Arthur Smith was a better coach after watching that Raiders game with Desmond Ritter. I'm like, I can't believe I actually think he's a better coach because winning nine games with that garbage, my God, he's a genius. Anyway, so my point is, like, I got confirmation from Art over 3 years. Like, okay, the guy understands the game. He understands moments. He knows what to do. I'm still working that out with Ra. And again, some of that may be his assistance because, look, it's a weird dynamic. Ra doesn't call plays on offense. He doesn't call plays on defense.
No,
he sort of manages the game. And it's like, how much, I try to figure out, everything is, it's a collaborative decision. Oh, yeah, we all got in the room together. You know, I asked the question. I know the answer ahead of time. Oh, well, we all got to it together. I know that's all sort of just speak in press conferences. It might not be reality. But again, when you talk about how to manage those games in tight moments and decisions to make, I referenced, again, some of the interceptions from Kirk. Bad, bad throws. Can't defend him. But it's the coach's job to not let those situations manifest itself, i.e. you don't have to push the ball on fourth and five in a one-score game when you could just punt it away and not put your team at risk, right? Like, you eliminate that risk as a possibility. and you deal with the risk of a botch punt snap or a block punt, which is much lower than an interception. So that's the coach's job in those spots, is to manage those moments and figure out, do I go for it here? Do I send out my idiot kicker? Or do I just punt the ball away? And I'm trying to figure out what his methodology is so I can understand and whether I agree or disagree on the level of how much of a grasp he has. To your point, though, I told you before the season, and you and I did the show together, 10-7, division was winning the division was the basement, was the floor and the minimum of what this roster should have been capable of. That's all still in front of them. If that's what they get to, okay.
He's done a good job.
I thought the ceiling was the 3 seed.
Yeah.
And they were trending on that way when they were 6-3.
Yeah, the figuring out the ins and outs, and Eric and Marietta, we got to grab him because he's been holding patiently. Want to hear from you, 404-726-0929. The ins and outs of figuring out how a guy coaches, that's going to come through time. It really is. Eric, we're going to come back. We're going to grab your phone call. We got some guy talk on the way. Did you guys see Charlie Woods yesterday? What an incredible moment for him and Tiger Woods. Also, it looks like we're getting another pet. I got to tell you about this. It's all on the way in Guy Talk. It is Dukes and Bell. Mike's out today. He's out for the next week or so here. Zeno's in today with me hanging out, and we're talking about the Falcons and a lot of other stuff. You're going to hear from Arnold Ebiketie, coach, and also Michael Penix and Bijan coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. We will turn our attentions midweek, and most of us will be celebrating Christmas. But the Falcons have a Sunday night game now against the Commanders, and it's a big one. And we got plenty of time to dissect and get into that. But yesterday was a big win for the Falcons as well, because you needed to see Michael Penix perform at a high level, and I thought he did a really good job yesterday. More on that coming up. Eric has been holding on in Marietta, by the way, and I want to grab him. And then we're going to play the Charlie Woods hole-in-one, if you missed it. And then I got something else to reveal. Eric and Marietta, man, thanks for your patience. What do you think about Penix, man? How you feeling?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, man.
So, look, man, I've been a Falcons fan since Bartkowski. I've been through all those ups and downs, man. You know, we've been through all of that together. Something happened yesterday with the team. Something freaking electric. Penix got on the field, and it was a different feel altogether. Yes, it was the Giants. I'll get to that in a sec. He threw the ball with a rocket arm. He threw darts, and the offensive line protected him. And with a 2.4-second hold, I think that was amazing to watch. The other thing I wanted to say was the defense wanted Penix back on the field. You could tell by the way they were playing. They wanted to get him back in that pocket. The defense played that complimentary football that you guys have been talking about for weeks.
Yep.
So I was excited to see that. Yes, it was the Giants. But the big test is coming this weekend with the Commanders, and I think he's going to do incredibly well against them. So rise up, Falcons. Go, Dogs. Merry Christmas, gentlemen. Have a good one.
Eric, appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Eric.
I agree with him. And when he says something electric, here's the deal. When it's new, it's always electric. I mean, that's just what it is. And it was new, so we were like, oh. Because I got to tell you, it was electric when Kirk Cousins first took his snap. He was under center. And we were all like, oh, okay, what's this going to be? And then we were a little disappointed because we were like, well, that wasn't what we expected. And then it got better, and then it got better, and then it got worse. But for Michael Penix, I agree with Eric. I think he's going to do just fine. This is a big test. But the things that I needed to see from the quarterback position, his poise, standing in there, making the throws, timely release, all those things that I'm like, that those things were special. And all the stuff we've talked about, the arm talent, you saw it. You saw it yesterday. There's no debating that. And I don't even think, you know, we can say we've seen him at his best. That was one game. What's the future hold for him as far as how good he can be? I think sky's the limit. All right. Appreciate it, Eric. Thanks for listening, man. Charlie Woods. I'd hate to be him. And understand what I'm saying. Your dad is Tiger. He's playing golf, and I don't know if he's going to pursue it professionally. It seems as though he is. But I got to tell you something. To live up to what his father has done is an incredible amount of pressure, okay? But when you watch him, he plays just like his dad.
Yeah.
The mannerisms are just incredibly unique as far as his stance, the way he folds his arms, the way he putts, the way he gets the ball out of the hole, everything.
Even their frame is the same.
It's the same. So Can he do it? Yes, of course. But I'm just telling you, we talk about this all the time. When your dad is a megastar, like his dad is, and great at his sport, right, and certainly one of the legends, when your son goes into it, it's very tough. So they were playing in the PNC yesterday. This is where dads play with their daughters or sons. You know, there was a variety of golfers that you know that were playing in it, but Tiger and Charlie were playing, and then they got into the final round and atop the leaderboard. But Charlie got a hole-in-one yesterday, and it was his first one. And I just want you to hear, because it was cool to watch. If you've not seen it, it's all over social media. It went viral yesterday. And it's one of those things, if you ever hit one of these, right, if you're lucky enough, you may play golf your entire life and never have one. It goes in, and everybody goes crazy, but you're like, did that go in? I don't know. That was kind of his reaction. Here's Charlie Woods.
Really good contact. This is a great-looking shot if it's the right number.
Oh, it is the right number. Oh! His father was actually not watching. He had to take a break for a second, comes back out. Here's the roar of the crowd. And Charlie Woods has made an ace here at the PNC Championship.
Yeah, it was incredible. It's the best thing I saw all weekend, Zeno. Have you ever had a hole-in-one?
No. I mean, I think if you get as close I've ever been with, it's like 2 or 3 feet, you know, just like we're quick tap in.
Sure.
But that doesn't even count. Like, that doesn't even measure up to actually getting the ball in the hole. Like, you know, it's, oh, I was so close to hole. I was so close. One number off lotto. Yeah, same thing, right? You still don't have any money, and the ball didn't go in the hole. So that doesn't matter. But I will say this much. You know, for a guy who I actually don't ever need to see play in a major again, I actually enjoy watching Tiger Woods play golf with his son.
He is great.
As a dad, like, yes. I appreciate, you could see the joy on his face. And he actually looks like he's enjoying golfing again when he's with his son. He doesn't look like he enjoys golf when he's getting his butt kicked because he's just not at the level that he ever could be. No one could be at that level again. Maybe his son might be at one point, but you know, he's never going to be that again. He's never going to win another major again. Like, we understand this is what Tiger is. He doesn't look like he enjoys himself going out there trying to win another major. He looks like he enjoys himself when he's playing golf with his son. And he looks like the best version of himself. So as a dad, I appreciate that.
I'm with you on that. Let's hear Tiger talk about Charlie and this competition.
Yeah, it's okay.
You're keeping off of me.
Yeah, I know. It's I get the downwind. I'm okay. The whole idea is just have fun out there. And these are big fairways, and I can let it go a little bit from time to time. If not, just hit my little peeler and play and then move on.
He's talking about his driver. He's like, yeah, it's okay. Everybody sees him play, to your point, Zeno, and they go, he can compete. And he's like, no, I'm not in that kind of mindset right now. Like, I can't go play for 4 days and win a major or win one of these tournaments when I'm playing against the best golfers in the world right now. But playing a leisurely round with your son in this environment, yeah, absolutely I can. Bernard Langer won this event, by the way, him and his son. He hits an 18-foot putt. And they win basically in extra holes. It was a very cool event. I've enjoyed it over the last few years. I kind of gotten into this PNC championship. But to see Charlie grow, I think that's an enormous amount of pressure, man, to say, hey, your dad's Tiger, and now you're about to be a professional golfer at some point. It's not right now. And then we have the expectation, not us, but people will have the expectation that he's going to win, you know, 10 or more majors. It just doesn't happen that way.
I don't know. I mean, we've seen other child prodigies, right, like go out there and compete in sports at this high level, you know, in individual sports, whether it's tennis, golf, whatever it may be. And, you know, the level of composure, as we sit here and talk about Penix and composure, level of composure, I think Charlie Woods has, it feels different through the camera, right? He doesn't feel like rigid. He doesn't feel like he's all robotic. He doesn't feel like, he just feels like he's a kid playing a game that he loves. And it translates really well because he's good at it.
Yeah.
You know, like when Tiger came up and Tiger was, you know, an amateur and everything else, and I don't think he looked as relaxed and as confident and as calm as Charlie does. And maybe that's because Charlie's still in the shadow of his dad and it doesn't have to. Tiger didn't have a shadow. Tiger was cast
correct
the shadow on everybody else.
Yeah, and everybody was watching, right. Like, what's this guy going to do?
I mean, you know, right now the assumption is Charlie can never be as good as his dad because nobody could be as good as his dad. And so maybe that allows him just to play a little bit more free. But I don't – he doesn't feel like – what is he, 14, 15?
Mm, Yeah, I believe so.
Somewhere in that range?
15, maybe.
He doesn't feel like a 15-year-old kid who could compete with people twice his age.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great point. Zeno, I think you make a great point. I really do. And by the way, I'd love to see him be as good as his dad. But it's just that's a lot to ask. Hey, what are your twins, by the way, for those who don't know? Zeno has twin boys. What are boys asking for Christmas, man?
I regrettably I sunk money into baseball bats for them.
Why is that regrettable? They play.
I know, but they're going to need another one in like 2 years when they outgrow this one. Like,
those bats are expensive, by the way.
They're nuts.
They're expensive.
I tried to tell these kids, hey, guess what? If you can't hit with a bad bat, you're not going to be able to hit with a good bat. Like, you swung and missed. The bat doesn't matter.
Are they on travel squads or something?
Nah,
no,
they're not good enough. I tell you what, man, Smyrna Little League is, if any of you guys are listening out there, no, it's a good old boy network. I mean, they just.
Is it?
I don't like the way they run it. I don't think the tryouts are right. I don't think the process is right.
Are you saying your kids got screwed by the tryouts?
No. My kids aren't good enough to make a team. I still don't like tryouts.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I'm the dad who doesn't sugarcoat anything for my children. Dad, I want to make a team. You're not good enough. Go outside and practice. I don't know what to tell you.
But yet you bought them bats.
Because I'm a sucker. Because guess what? If you could strike out with a bad bat.
You're not good enough.
You could strike out with a good bat.
But dad's going to get you a
if you
more
believe this
bat.
Bat's going to make you hit better, by all means, let's go for it.
So that was a big ticket item, I'm assuming, yeah?
Yeah. That's, I mean, just.
Did they
and,
give you...
and the point, and I had to argue with them that they didn't need their own, that they could share one.
Yeah.
You both don't bat at the same time. Only one batter's up at the plate. You don't take the bat with you to first.
They need their own, Zeno.
You're as bad as they are.
They do. You
no, you don't.
You don't need to share bats. They need their own identity.
I play in a men's league. I borrow somebody else's bat every at bat.
That's because you're cheap.
No, I'm highfalutin, remember?
Zeno.
I pay for red zone, so I don't have to pay for bats.
Zeno, if you want your kids to have that major league mindset, they need their own bats.
Yeah,
they need their own share bats.
They need
their own
right up there with those stupid reflective sunglasses and eye black. I mean, these kids, they look like Braveheart with war paint as 11 years old going to play baseball. What the hell is wrong with you?
Sam, man, got to get that major league mindset started early, man. Have their own bat, their own equipment.
Then I watch you swing and miss. I'm like, get back to the dugout, Braveheart. Don't worry about it.
Your boys are special, man. Come on. They need their own bats.
Yeah, they're special, all right. Sure they are. Like their old man. Sure, plus.
By the way, did they hit you with the links list, by the way?
What's that?
Orin, wait. It's coming for you.
The links? It's like, oh, I want this, this, and this.
The Christmas list used to be...
Written down and circled in a catalog.
It's digital now, huh?
Yeah. It's all digital. And they send it. My daughter sends it, and it's like links that you click on, and it takes you right to the item and shows you what it is.
Amazon wish list they get you for Christmas?
It's unbelievable.
It does make it stress-free for shopping. I will say that much.
It's unbelievable.
Like, if you send me a couple of click, 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 boom, done. Oh, fantastic.
That's the thing.
Oh, my child stays two forever.
Well,
then, yes.
I'm telling you, it's coming for you. All right. We got a lot more to get to. Falcon Report's on the way. We're going to hear from Michael Penix, Bijan, Coach, and more in the 5 o'clock hour. It's Dukes and Bell.